Hello, everyone. I'm Dennis Nance. I'm an alcoholic. I tell you, I've been dreading this. You know, when I sit back there and people are doing this kind of stuff, I sit back there and think that I'm glad it's me and not glad it's him and not me. So I guess that's what you think about. But I guess everything will be okay. I listen to some of these tapes. It's more, the more tapes you listen to, the more intimidated you get, the more intimidated I got, you know. When you got people like Dick and Bryant and Lou presenting, and those are good, those are quality tapes, too. You can hear the pages shuffling. And they're taking time to find stuff in the book. You know, they've referenced that thing, so they want you to know something. But I'll tell you, after this is over with, I think you'll know that I don't know half the stuff you used to think I know. So this is it. And Lou is right. I do have some opinions, but hopefully they're about what's best for Alcoholics Anonymous rather than outside issues. But I thought about this as I was making notes and referencing the 10th tradition. And tonight, I might add about my opinions that I have something new. See, you have opinions when you're telling your own story. But I got a new deal tonight. I've got some observations. You never heard that before. And that's how the traditions came about, I think, by observation. And I begin by dropping my glasses. And I was putting on those glasses, you know. And I really don't see well. This is my first pair of bifocals. So I was thinking, you know, what happens if you can't see? You know, you think about everything going wrong. And I said, well, it doesn't make any difference if you can't read. Well, you might find out the truth a lot about me tonight. No, one thing I appreciate about Charlotte is that the AA in Charlotte has always been progressive. And there are people in Charlotte that have that have quality sobriety, and they have longevity, and they're still active. I'll tell you, when you move to some of these outlying areas, and now the area I live in is way outlying, you miss quality meetings. You miss quality meetings, and you get exposed to a lot of stuff. But I think you really have something to be treasured here, and I want to commend you on the courage to go ahead and address the issue of gaining a better understanding of the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. You're to be commended for that. I've been sober since February 1st, 1981. And like I said, I've made some observations. As a matter of fact, people have made observations on me. And I guess I came in and started in controversial stuff right off the bat. And I've been able to live in a couple of cities, so I'll share some of my experiences with what happened to me in those cities. I think most of you know that I fought with Shuffletown, my home group, the whole time I was here. But I miss them dearly now. But I've concluded, out of just my AA experience, is that, and that's not a long time compared to some of these people that have presented, but it's my observation, my experience, that the AA groups that survive, that still attract new members, the AA groups that are productive are those groups that adhere as closely as possible to the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe that that is paramount to the survival of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, according to the four words of the second edition of the Big Book, it says, so we had to evolve principles by which AA groups could survive and function effectively. The 12 and 12, it says that they outline a means by which AA maintains its unity and relates itself to the world about it. Essentially, the 12 traditions are about the way Alcoholics Anonymous grows. Tradition 10, I think, assures two issues. Number one, AA unity, and two, the best possible relationship between AA and the world about it. You know, you very rarely hear anything negative about Alcoholics Anonymous. If there was anything out there, surely Ricky Lake or Oprah Winfrey or one of these guys on the talk shows would have gotten a hold of it and got some dummy to set up there while they read the laundry list about how bad we are. So we've done pretty well. Now, first I want to read the version that we're all used to hearing, which is, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And the long version. Personally, I like the long version. And when I came in periodically, the group would read the long version. And my memory was so short back then, I couldn't remember them from year to year. They just done it 1 month a year. But it was, so this tradition study was good for me. It says, no AA group or member should ever, in such a way as to implicate AA, express any opinion on outside controversial issues, particularly those of politics, alcohol reform, and sectarian religion. The Alcoholics Anonymous groups oppose no one. Concerning such matters, they can express no views whatever. And that's pretty thorough. It's pretty plain. The only thing that might complicate this thing tonight is old Dennis Nance. So that's why I have some notes. And as I was writing this, even the notes kind of drifted off track. But now, I think the 10th step is indicative of the spiritual insight that the early members had. And particularly, as I was looking at this, I began to think about not just the spiritual insight, but if tradition one addresses the survival, which is really, I look at it as spiritual nearsightedness, tradition 10 could be looked at as spiritual farsightedness. Looking into the future. You know, it seems that, you know, drunks are just like other people except for one thing. The further we get from our last drink, the smarter we think we get. We begin to philosophize on things we know absolutely nothing about. That's what I'm doing tonight. But now, especially when we finally find something that is able to arrest the very illness that is causing our self-destruction. I know what I did. The first thing I thought is, you know, this is good stuff. Maybe it'll work for everybody. And then my mother attended a few meetings. She said, Dennis, I think that's the way church ought to be. And she had just attended some open meetings. Well, according to the material, especially page 16 of 12 and 12, it says something to this effect. The early members believed that our way of life was advantageous for all, alcoholic or not. And that crossed my mind several times. You'll see later on that that's probably a little dangerous. So the spiritual insight of the early members led to the development or step of the 10th tradition, which in fact indicates that they were able to identify the booby traps of public controversy. Now, first I want to review some lessons learned from the Washingtonian movement. And I had planned a nice little dissertation on that. And as I listened to the tapes, I saw that a lot of people planned a nice little dissertation on that. So I know you already know that. But in case you don't. I think one of the most significant factors in the development of an acceptance of the 10th tradition is the experience of the Washingtonian movements. According to the book Passion On, the Washingtonian Society was an organization that flourished during the early 1840s, but quickly failed because of some of their practice, which actually amounts to self-restraint, and which eventually ended in self-defeat. Now, initially, the Washingtonian Society consisted entirely of alcoholics dedicated to helping each other. And the early members, with great wisdom, recorded that. They said, this is what we want to remain faithful to. Just this sole purpose. And therefore, the movement grew rapidly. A lot of similarities between the Washingtonian movement and Alcoholics Anonymous. However, Bill Wilson indicates in writing the 12 and 12 that the Washingtonians allowed non-alcoholics to join the movement, which included politicians, reformers, zealous Christians, and a lot of other people with ulterior motives. I wonder sometimes about people that the court refers to Alcoholics Anonymous for that reason. I might share something a little later on with you with my experiences just this week with that. So these members began to use the movement for their own agenda. And the agendas of those days were things like the abolition of slavery and later on the temperance movement. As a matter of fact, the history kind of indicates that the abolition of slavery was not a big deal. You know, they could have survived that, but when they start trying to sober up the whole nation, that created some problems. We got to get rid of these Washingtonian boys, you know, it's kind of like preachers when they're preaching, you know, as long as they're preaching about somebody else, I'm out there saying, preach on, Reb. When they start preaching about your drinking, you say, now he's getting in my business. Now, you can't pay him for that. So it became clear to the early members of Alcoholics Anonymous that the inner strife that came about, now the inner strife, you know, old guy in Greensboro named Willard Pegg, he's dead now. But I remember getting sober, he used to say, this sobriety is an inside job. It's an inside job. It was a long time before I figured out what he was talking about. But I'm going to tell you, the protection of Alcoholics Anonymous, the adherence to the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous is also an inside job. If this thing ever falls apart, it'll be from within. It'll be from within. So, and what had happened to the Washington movements is they began, the members began to disagree on issues. And that caused some infighting. And once the infighting starts, it really doesn't matter what the public doesn't have to do anything to you. You self-destruct yourself. As a matter of fact, we ought to be out, you know, it's kind of like churches, you know. You know, churches will split up, and these fine Christians will go over to another church 30 miles down the road and then talk trash about the other church. You know, so society, we become the society that destroy ourselves. So the other thing about this is that, you know, I find that the closer we are to each other, the more difficult sometimes it is to forgive each other and get over these controversial issues, even though sometimes they're valid controversial issues. I also might note something that I didn't make note of in my notes is that up to the point that the 12 by 12 was written, it states that so far, or maybe it was Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age, it indicated that so far all the controversial issues have been issues to make sobriety more accessible to the new members of Alcoholics Anonymous. So that was positive. But as I said, once society gets a negative view of us, it's almost impossible to change that view. Think about it. Anybody trust Jimmy Swaggart anymore? That guy was well respected. He did a series on alcoholism back in 1986. Had people staying home from church looking at him. Until he said it was a sin instead of an illness, they went back to church the next Sunday. Jim and Tammy Baker, think they'll get into ministry anymore? Henry Lyons, the guys that embezzled the money and bought a condo with his girlfriend down at the beach. I don't think he'll do much for the Southern Baptist Convention anymore. As a matter of fact, it might be time for me to go ahead and get in now. I can get that for this. And you know, one of my heroes was arrested just last week. Another controversial issue. the godfather of soul, James Brown. The last of my black American heroes. And I don't think he can impress anybody when he feels good anymore. If anybody that's done cocaine for 30 years and got away with it should feel good, you know. So, the Oxford Groups. Oxford Groups contribute a lot to Alcoholics Anonymous. Not just getting us started, not just providing the principles. If you've done any history, you know they did a lot of stuff. They also did as much damage to themselves as they did good for Alcoholics Anonymous. But you know, I had always read the good stuff. I just looked at that. But I found some things that were surprising to me. But they helped us develop the 10th tradition. According to Pass It On, Dr. Frank Buckman, the founder of the Oxford Groups, was from the inception, saw personal spiritual change as a way of changing the world. So from the outset, the Oxford Groups were they differed from Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, page 130 indicates that Buckman himself was never interested specifically in helping alcoholics, although in Akron, the Oxford Group was known as a place where the alcoholic could definitely get some help. I found something interesting, I think, in Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, and this is reading from page 55. Surprise. It says, Oxford Groupers sought to change the community leaders with the idea that their example would motivate others. Thus, there was a great deal of publicity and fanfare when newcomers achieved spiritual rebirth. Dr. Buckman himself was often interviewed and quoted widely. You know, that'd be a dangerous thing for Dennis Nance to do. So, and as a matter of fact, our traditions seem to suggest that we should do otherwise. So they wanted change for the community from the outset. It's a little different from us. They wanted to change other people rather than changing themselves. I think you've heard some traditions discussed later on that talks about leading by example. Over time, the Oxford Group was really, I think, became frustrated with these drunks because they were trying to heal them and they wanted sobriety, but they didn't want that salvation thing those drunks were laying on, you know. And, you know, and I've always said, this is one of my personal opinions, I said, you know, in my opinion, it's always best to get sober before you get saved, you know. It just seems to work better that way. You know, I get saved, and before I make it home, the saving it wore off, you know. Man, I tell you, you know. I tell you. And, you know, that spirit wear off, you know, you got to have a drink of liquor. So, evidently this has happened to several members of these Oxford Groupers, and they kind of tried to tone Bill Wilson down. But the second thing the Oxford Group did for us is it changed Bill Wilson's delivery. He began to share his experience, strength, and hope rather than preaching to him as the Oxford Groups had done to him. The two things that it did for us is, number one, it affected our delivery. The second thing it did is it reinforced the necessity of unity through singleness of purpose. Unity through singleness of purpose. Sharing one of the strength and hope in contrast to preaching salvation to the drunk. And the truth is, if you look back and study this, you're going to find those Oxford Groupers were really probably ashamed of us hanging around. We just didn't do well for their stats. You know what I'm talking about. They couldn't say, you know, they were saving the world. These drunks laying right up under their nose dying of alcoholism. So you couldn't brag a whole lot, you know. I guess these guys, they get to working on us, you know. It's about time they get that salvation injected in us and want to hold us up and say, look what we've done to this. The guy would show up at the meeting drunk. So we just didn't seem to be some good prospects for the Oxford groups. But they did the Oxford groups and the Washingtonian movements. Their experiences set the stage for the 10th tradition. Now, I want to talk about the intrinsic danger of controversial issues. After that, we'll talk about some controversial issues itself. Now, one of the characteristics, I think, of a controversial issue is it parallels or closely, it parallels, you know how it talks about, well, the issue parallels or closely relates itself to AA's primary purpose. So it's so close to sounding like the real thing that its relevancy is never questioned. It looks like the real thing, it sounds like the real thing, and what has happened is when we embrace these things, and I saw that happen, you know, one of the most painful things for me is that my home group in Greensboro has begun to deteriorate. It began to deteriorate before I left, and I think it's because of some of these outside issues. We embrace some of them. Now, one of the first things that happened is I noticed that, and if you're old enough, you might remember. Remember when we just got up and said the Lord's Prayer? You just stood where you were and said the Lord's Prayer? Somehow we evolved into circles. Now, I can't say where that came from. I know where I think it came from. And sometimes it's not even practical. It's just too many people in the room. You got to have a circle. I've heard we versions of the Serenity Prayer. You ever heard that? God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change. It's not Alcoholics Anonymous. Heard some of that. And I guess you've heard, if I know some of the speakers, the guys on my roster talk about the rapping after the meeting. I know you've heard a lot of that. But my whole home group in Greensboro has the ultimate rap. First it started out with Keep Coming Back. Maybe I can handle it. Then it said Keep Coming Back, it works if it works. I mean, it's getting a little long now. I see guys holding my hands that long. And then Keep Coming Back, it works if you work it, but you got to work it every day. I said, well, it can't get any longer. Can't get any longer. That's it. But I was invited to speak at my home group about, well, it was actually for the anniversary last spring. And it got longer. Keep coming back, it works if you work it, but you got to work it every day. I said, man, where did that come from? The problem with the 10th tradition is once you start accepting anything, you got to accept everything. That's why the traditions are written. Usually these controversial issues are philosophical. They're issues that could not be resolved with 10 years of arguing. Think about politics. Especially with the stuff that's going on now in the United States. You're not going to anybody real can't agree on this. I like what it says. You know, respecting this tradition made me appreciate what it says in our material when it says we think it no business of ours what religious denomination our members belong to. It's a philosophical issue. I can't prove to you that Baptist is the best, and you can't prove to me that Islam is the best. But our each own higher powers work for us. And it specifically states politics, religion, alcohol reform. Those were the issues of that day. And later on, we'll talk about some more issues. Now, the third characteristic is that they're usually issues about which individually or collectively we have absolutely no expertise. Most of the time, we have absolutely no knowledge of it. But we definitely don't have any expertise. But it's just common to come up with a subject and listen to drunks philosophize. We're talking about anything except ourselves, you know. So, you know, I was early. You know, early in my sobriety, I didn't go to a lot of discussion meetings. I didn't go, especially open discussion meetings, because that's where you see a lot of the controversial stuff come up. And some of it is not just controversial, some of it is crazy and controversial. I remember going to a Saturday night meeting in the rain. I got on my red pants, which is the best pair of pants I had back then. I come out in the rain with my polyester red pants on and sat through that discussion meeting. And had a guy there named Foster. Foster is one of the few people in Alcoholics Anonymous that was called by his last name rather than his first. And it was an open discussion meeting. I can't tell you what they discussed. But Foster is sitting there, you know, and these guys, the controversial guys, you can see brilliance just coming off of them, you know. And Foster looked brilliant that night. And you know, at the end of these meetings, and the meetings always start with, does anybody have a topic that's bothering their sobriety you'd like to have discussed tonight? Oh man, I came in the wrong meeting again. But anyway, at the end of that meeting, they always close with, did anybody have a burning desire? Well, old Foster's sitting there, you can see burning desire in his eyes. So Foster, you have anything? Foster said, yeah. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, well, the white folks took land from the Indians. You know, you ask for it, you get it. You know? But you know, I thought about that weeks later. I still laugh about that sometimes. You know? Whatever the issue, the issue is usually trivial as compared to the greater cause that stands over. It usually doesn't mean a hill of beans. Something that we never think of in the midst of our drinking. And we're sober 15 minutes and we want to entertain these thoughts. And the last characteristic is they all begin to defocus and eventually end up undermining the primary purpose of Alcoholics Anonymous, as stated in our preamble. Now, let's talk about some contemporary tempting controversial issues. You know, being that the traditions were penned and accepted a long time ago, you know, life was pretty simple in 1935, 1940, even in 1955, life was pretty simple. And the public, you know, we had, for some reason, it appears to me that we exercised just a little more self-restraint. So back then, we may not have needed to understand the traditions as well as we do now. But I just want to mention some issues. You know, one of the issues I think that's real close and dear to the heart of any recovering alcoholic is the best treatment methods of alcoholics. You know, that's an issue that could just casually work its way into an AA room, and especially when you start thinking about things like the moderation movement and rational recovery what else new they have out there. You know, there have been two or three experiments we hear of every now and then where they attempted to turn alcoholics back into social drinkers. Well, I may disagree with it as an individual. I might have an opinion on it as an individual. But as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, or I cannot express any opinion on that. That would implicate AA. And believe it or not, there are people who know I'm in AA. And they would associate me with AA, whether I expressed it as an opinion of AA or not. In other words, those people, even without me saying it or knowing it, they think I know what I'm talking about. So whether I attribute it to AA or not, I just have to be careful how I conduct myself. But the truth is, we only know what worked for us. It says in the material, we have no monopoly on God. We don't know what the best treatment for alcoholism is. We simply have a way that's best for us. So, our issue is staying sober and helping other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And we have nothing to do. We have no public opinion. We have no public opinion on what the best treatment methods are for recovering alcoholics. But since I'm up here, let me tell you what my opinion is. Alcoholics Anonymous itself. Some of us feel quite strongly about medicine. I've gotten in trouble before expressing my opinion on medicine. And if you express your opinion around people that are not real well, they might try to do what your opinion insinuates that you're doing. You might get in trouble. I think that's happened to me before. But you know, I have no issue with the doctors as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't attack Valium or any other benzodiazepine. My issue is achieving sobriety, maintaining sobriety, and helping others to achieve sobriety. See, religion. I like religion. Dominations, denomination. And as I was thinking about religion, I thought about these big Baptists picking on poor little Mickey Mouse, you know. Even today we can see how organizations begin to disassemble themselves, begin infighting because of controversial issues. And race-specific recovery, race-specific meetings. And believe it or not, in every major city, most major cities that I've lived in, all three cities that I've lived in, there's been a type of self-segregation. And when I got here to Charlotte, I was introduced to an organization I never heard of before. It's called NBAC. You ever heard of NBAC? It's the National Black Council on Alcoholism. Didn't know it existed. As a matter of fact, I think I could have been in pretty good shape now if I had founded that organization and passed everybody out sobriety. But anyway, one of their issues was that they embraced the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. They thought it was good. But they thought something extra should be done for the black recovering alcoholic. Well, I can't think of anything better to do than offer the black recovering Alcoholics Anonymous the same 12 steps that the green and white and purple and red ones have. Nothing has worked better for anybody that I've seen. And so you know what I had to do. NBAC doesn't have any tradition. So I expressed my opinion. Tell you something else they ain't got. They ain't got Dennis Nash for a member. You know? But early in my sobriety, I started going to groups that were predominantly black because the alcoholics I knew were black. But you know, I made a mistake. I started reading the 12 and 12. Now, I started thinking maybe something is wrong with the way we do this deal. And then I was invited to my first AA conference. I was not sure about this deal. I had never been treated like that before. And see, because they were focused on our primary goal. Staying sober and helping other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This guy named J.W. Tesser. Dead now. So Dennis, you put enough gas in your car to come up here to Durham. He said, and we'll take things from there. And we went to the conference. And I didn't know what these people, see, we were from the same hometown, but J. Everett was white and I was black. That weekend, we had, in J. Everett's house, we had black and white, all kinds of alcoholics running around, sleeping. We had a nice suite upstairs. I was the newcomer to Alcoholics Anonymous. Lever and I had our own bedroom upstairs. As a matter of fact, we had the whole upstairs. They didn't let me pay for anything. On Saturday morning, J. Everett said, Dennis, I'm sick, I need to go home. So I knew J. Everett had a heart attack. I took him home. I said, man, I hope this guy don't die on the way home. If he's gonna die, he needs to die with somebody white in the car. This ain't got shit. But on the way back, J.W. said, he said, Dennis, I know you're from Greensboro. There are a lot of black people in Greensboro. But you're not going to find, so it's highly improbable that you'll find a black sponsor that's married with some sobriety and Alcoholics Anonymous with the lifestyle that you want to develop. He said, you can't afford to look for black recovery or white recovery or rich recovery or Army veteran recovery. He said, you're going to have to go where there's help. You're going to have to focus on staying sober. Doesn't have a color. Doesn't have a social status. You need to go where there's help. He sent me to the Starmount group of Alcoholics Anonymous in Greensboro. And there I began to branch out. And then came the controversy. Going back to those serenity group, they said, so you're going to white meetings now, huh? Scared me to death. I don't want to make black people mad. I know, because I'm black. I've been mad before. Man, I just didn't know what to do. But there were two other guys. There's Nelson, who had shoulders broad. And Nelson hadn't been sober long enough to realize he should shave his face. Shave his face and grow hair on his head. He still does it backwards. And so I stayed close to Nelson and James. They were big enough that if anybody done anything to them, and they went to, I guess, the white meetings. And finally, after staying sober long enough, I kind of got used to it. They said, well, Dennis, you still going to those white meetings? I said, yeah, I drunk white liquor. And we let it go at that. Is I had to come to a conclusion. I come to a decision. I had to make a decision. Whether I wanted to remain black and cool, focus on ethics, whether I wanted to focus on chitlins and liver mush, or whether I wanted to get sober. Primary purpose, Alcoholics Anonymous, is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. I have no opinion on black or white meetings. I simply go where there's help. I didn't look for black bars. I didn't look for black liquor houses. The other issue closely associated with race-specific recovery is the old saying that addiction is addiction. I think that happens. Now, we have to just face it. There is a difference between the drug culture and the Alcoholics Anonymous culture. Alcoholics Anonymous works well for alcoholics. I was faced with that earlier this week, doing a case study with a guy that is alcoholic. He doesn't know he's alcoholic, doesn't believe he's alcoholic. His boss doesn't believe he's alcoholic. They referred to me and said, Big D, this guy's alcoholic. I said, well, he ain't got a problem. Said, okay, he ain't got a problem. I said, looks on his paperwork like he has a problem. He got a string of DWIs. He's been assessed two times as having a problem. He's even been referred to Alcoholics Anonymous. But the guy said he ain't got a problem. So I said, talk to the guy. I said, looks like you got a problem with alcohol. He said, well, it looks like that, but I ain't got a problem. I said, you've been referred to Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, I know I have. Well, I said, well, they don't refer social drinkers to Alcoholics Anonymous. That indicates to me that you might have a problem. He said, I know it looks like Mr. Nance, but I ain't got a problem. I said, well, what are you doing in my life? He said, well, I need to keep my job. I said, well, I'm sorry. I cannot endorse your boss suggesting that you go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is not designed to keep jobs. If you got a job problem, you need to go see your boss. If you got an alcoholism problem, maybe you need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I left the guy down there in South Carolina. You know, I've come to conclude that I do Alcoholics Anonymous a disservice. when I refer people here for any reason other than the primary purpose of Alcoholics Anonymous. Our common goal is what creates our unity. If I refer people like that to Alcoholics Anonymous, then what I do is I bring in, deliberately I bring in, outside controversy. Our business is not keeping jobs. Remember what I said, once we start accepting everything, we got to accept anything. Gender-specific recovery. We have no opinion on male or female, or what's best for male or female alcoholics. Our common goal is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Gay and lesbian issues. I guess y'all know that as big as I am, I guess I have to stay male the rest of my life. I can't change. I'd make an ugly, a real ugly gay person. Sexual orientation is not our issue. It may be an issue that needs to be addressed individually as a person's recovery. But as a whole, as a group, as a fellowship, we have no opinion on sexual orientation and alcoholism. Legalization of drugs. As a whole, we have no opinion. And all of these are issues that are closely associated. Issues that we feel passionate about. But there are also issues that could draw us into public controversy and do the same thing. Cause the same self-destruction that created a problem for the Oxford groups and the Washingtonian movement. Third-party payment for insurance. Man, I tell you, you got a lot of counselors in here. People that are alcoholic and counselors that are concerned about that issue. Because we have no opinion on that issue. DWI laws. As a matter of fact, I've gotten to where I kind of appreciate them. But I have no opinion on them. As an AA member. Now, the final analysis is just this. The unity of AA is paramount to recovery of the individual alcoholic, as well as the survival of AA as a whole. AA's relationship with society at large is important in ensuring that the hand of AA is always available to those who seek it. This is especially important for an organization that relies on attraction rather than promotion. The thing that's so delicate about the 10th step of Alcoholics Anonymous is that once we begin to recover and we seem to stabilize in living a day at a time, there are people that you would never suspect that think you know what you're talking about. They know you and they associate you with Alcoholics Anonymous whether you want them to or not. So it's important what we say and how we say it. Now I'm not saying you don't have any opinion as an individual. I have an opinion as an individual, but I cannot express any opinion that might be associated with Alcoholics Anonymous, or might be perceived as being the opinion of Alcoholics Anonymous. I like our preamble. I think we have, do we have anything around here with a preamble on it? Well, I guess I have. Maybe I don't. Anyway, we'll skip that. Anyway, I've got two more things that I want to reference for you out of Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age, page 123 and 124. And it says this. As by some deep instinct, we have known from the very beginning that no matter what the provocation, we must never publicly take sides as AAs in any fight with even a worded cause. Our history affords us this spectacle of striving nations and groups finally torn asunder because they were designed for or tempted into controversy. We live in an imminently possibility of fresh Holocaust, and I tell you what, it'd help a lot if I put on these glasses. There we go. We live in an imminent possibility of a fresh Holocaust to determine how men should be governed and how the products of nature and toil should be divided. This is the spiritual climate in which A was born and by God's grace has flourished nevertheless. Let us reemphasize that this reluctance to fight anyone other than anyone or anybody is not counted as some special virtue which makes us feel superior to people. It came about as a result of our own recovery. Our very life depends on this unity. As they age, we do not enter into any public controversy because we know that our fellowship will perish if we do. We conceive the survival and spread of Alcoholics Anonymous to be something greater, something of greater importance than any weight we could collectively throw back of our causes. Recovery from alcoholism is life itself to us, and we wish to preserve it in full strength as our means for survival. We wish to preserve it in full strength. Actually, we should avoid any controversy, no matter how good, that takes away from the full strength of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, someone a lot smarter than me once said, and you might recognize it, that the race is not given to the strength, to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Do you remember that? History indicates that AA, at least as far as AA is concerned, that most likely the victory is obtained by staying the course, maintaining the focus, and for us that means staying focused on our common goal, avoiding any and all controversies. There'll be more controversies to come. But now, what do we do about this? And they're going to work their way into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. The thing I'm so aware of now is that as an AA member, it's my responsibility to identify that controversy, call attention to that controversy, and do what I can to eliminate it. A lot of times I can do nothing, but I can raise the fact that it's there. And you know, I thought I'd never do stuff like that. I find myself doing that stuff. You know, Lou told you I had some opinions. But I realize now that over time, my opinion has become the opinion of the old guys that I used to hate. Little kid playing around in a closed discussion meeting last Monday night. And I started not to say anything to him, thought I'd hurt his feelings. But then I began to think as the meeting progressed, I don't go disrupt his Boy Scout meeting. So I went and talked to the kid. Well, the kid ran. I said, man, I need to talk to you. He ran. And his daddy is bigger than I am. But I went to his daddy and I said, look, it's a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a closed meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Your son has no business in this meeting. There are other meetings that he can go to, open meetings. But this is the wrong meeting. I think we need to respect Alcoholics Anonymous as much as we respect his Boy Scout meeting. We're left with that. I think that's my responsibility. Tradition 10 is my responsibility. I think the most loving thing that's ever happened to Dennis Nance is that love in Alcoholics Anonymous. That true compassion that people expressed to me by pulling me in line. And, you know, when we began to get strung out on controversial issues, I think we owe it to each other to refocus on our common goal of staying sober and helping other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Thank you all. I've enjoyed it, and time does pass fast.
It isn't late time for any questions. We have time for one question if anybody's got one. Good. He covered it pretty well, didn't he?
I think I got one.
After after we break up, Tom Morse saw a little outside controversial issues at the intergroup. They asked him about it, talked to him about it, what he saw in the intergroup office today. Think about it. It's something to think about. And, you know, it's our intergroup, so we need to, we do the policing of it. Right there, the young fella. Duck, you got anything to say? You sure? You need a little attention. Robin? Just wanted to make sure you were recognized. All the baskets around. Let's close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer.